Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. If you like these, you can come and see them being performed live. We've got some great guests coming up. Ed Gamble on the 24th of October, Dawn French and Deborah Francis White on the 31st of October. That'll be spooky, that one. Know what I'm talking about? There's one on the 7th of November. We yet to get the guests for that. 14th of November is Sarah Pascoe. 21st of November is Sarah Millican. 28th of November, David Baddiel and Lucy Porter. So if you fancy any of those, go to www.leicestersquaretheatre.com and you can book tickets to all of those. Still tickets for all of them, amazingly. And there are still some more guests to fill in, and we're aiming high. So worth taking a punt if you can't go to those particular ones. Anyway, we've got Hans Juwan coming up on this podcast. His tour dates are at the end of the podcast. If you would like to go and see him, he's in the country for a little while. And I'm also on tour doing a show called The Best, which is mainly in the spring, but there's one coming up in Manchester on the 2nd of November, I think. Maybe the 3rd. And one in Bridgewater in Somerset in December. So go to richherring.com/gigs and you can find out about those. Anyway, enough of my yakking. Let's get on with Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome man. He's still ill. It's a week ago. What's wrong with this man's immune system? It's Richard Herring. Fine, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm great. So that guy last week, you're much better than last week's audience already. First one of the series. So, welcome to the show. It's called Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was down at some kind of place where people do skipping. And there were some kids doing the double dutch form of skipping, which is particularly popular at the moment with Malcolm McLaren. and they were calling it rehearsal. So I don't know if it's catching on. So let's see. Oh, I've forgotten to bring my iPad on again. I can film with my phone. That's how bad it's got. I haven't got the iPhone 7 yet. Anyone got the old new iPhone? No? The old new iPhone. But they've got the new operating system, which is annoying, isn't it? Because I'm trying to open and I've gone to Siri. That's what happens, isn't it? Hey? Yeah, Apple users. That's what it's like. Ah, good. So I'm going to take a square photo of them. And this is terrible. I mean, this is just terrible. Luckily, I can edit this whole bit. I'm trying to make it go to video. Here we go. So I'm trying to impress my, you know, all the other comedians. I'm terrible. It's going. No, it's not even going. Hello, sir. What's your name? Paul. You're a newcomer to the front row of Rehearsed. Yeah. Good. Thank you. With more enthusiasm. No, you know, you're not that cool that you can say it in, oh, I'm too cool to say it way. Is this your first time in the front row?
First time.
Yeah, how's it going so far?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah, remember you've only been here for 5 minutes. Paul, what do you do for your living?
I work for Ancestry.
You work for Ancestry? Yeah. What, just the concept of just... For the family history website. Yeah, I love that stuff. What's the furthest back you've gone in your family? How many generations have you gone back personally in your family?
Two.
So you discovered who your grandparents were. Do you not think maybe I just ask them who their parents were? No. No, it's difficult, isn't it? I went on Ancestry, I found it unusable. I just wonder, you want to be able to type... Well, I'll tell you, mate, what you want to do, just type in your name, then the whole family tree comes up. That's what you should just put in Richard Herring, bang, there's your family tree. Then you can go and do something else. I love that stuff, and I love it. I think it's really interesting. But I think family trees, and Victoria Curran was annoyed with me for this, but I think this is a very feminist statement. I think family trees should go through the maternal line, not the paternal line. Because you know for sure who your mother is, but you don't know for sure who your father is. Because your mother is a whore. I'm talking about you, Paul. It's just you. So it's like those grandparents might not be. The mum is. Your grandma's your grandma, but that's the only thing we can be sure of. So, fun, isn't it? How long have you been working there? Ancestry.com?
6 months.
6 months, yeah. You won't be working there anymore now, mate. I have this. When they see this, oh, Richard Herring laying into them. I like it. It's good. Are you going to stay in that? Is that how many generations of your family have worked at Ancestry.com? They've been handed. It's been 10 generations, but the others didn't bother to write down their names. There's no records. Aren't you in trouble for seriously for not having found out your great grandparents? They don't really care, do they? As long as they get you £5 a month.
I've got a free.
You got, yeah, I'm assuming you would get a free account, Paul. Yeah. He was quite pleased with that. Well, there's that at the interview. Go, any questions? Do I get a free ancestry.com? Because that is a deal breaker. If I don't, I'm not coming to work. Yeah, mate, you can have a free one. Yes. Yeah, no, we give it to all the employees. I got that, man. I got. Good, it's lovely to talk to you. Welcome to the show. So, our guest this week, I mean, he's probably, to be honest, we booked him after this show had already sold out. So I don't think any of you will know who he is. He is probably best known, but he's really good. He's probably best known as Hartslag from Op Leven en Doob. That's why he's best, that's why we're here. It's Hans de Wan, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Come in, sit down. There's a microphone.
Good evening. Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You don't seem sick at all.
No, you know, it's Dr. Showbiz, isn't it? Dr. Theatre, that's what they call him.
Okay, you get better when you're better on stage.
Cool. Yeah, I still feel a bit... During the Armando Iannucci one, you know, sometimes you have a bit of snot and you suck it in, think, I'll just suck it in a bit, and then your mouth just fills with snot.
Snot, I know that.
You have to swallow the snot.
Yeah, and that's what you were doing.
It wasn't all the way through, but it was basically, there was a point where my whole mouth was full of snot.
That's the best thing when you're doing coke, you know. Yeah. They call it the drip.
Right.
When it just...
Yeah. Yeah, there was no... It was just my own effluent. There was no drugs.
That's a shame. Maybe that's the problem. Should do more coke.
I will... thank you. David Cross advised me not to...
I'm from Amsterdam, so...
Yeah.
I should know.
They have some drugs there, I
understand. They do, they do. Yeah, they do.
That's what I understand. Were you ever pushed into a canal by a strange-looking man with his shirt off?
No.
No, okay.
But it happens.
No, it does happen. We found out about that. So let's talk about Heart Slag from Op Levin and N. It looks like Boob by Dude. What's the show called?
What?
Heart Slag. You were Heart Slag in what? Op Levin and Dude.
Can I have a look at
I don't. I can't read my own writing. This is your first acting job, according to IMDb. Heart Slag.
Oh, you saw this is like you see my Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's more or less your this IMDb.
This is years ago. This was like in 1989 or something. Yeah. And I had to play. I had two scenes in that television movie. I was a boy. It was about medical ethics.
Okay.
Yes, and I was a And I was a young boy, and he had sex with his girlfriend for the very first time. So I had a sex scene.
Yeah. Nice.
And then she would drive me home on a bike, and I got hit by a car, and I was clinically dead.
Right. And
it's true. And then the whole thing was about that she got so attached to my heart that they wanted to give my heart to a black man. And she wouldn't give up my heart. It's true.
This is the most Dutch thing I've ever heard.
It's very, very, very Dutch, yeah.
On a not bicycle.
And he didn't get it in the end. No.
So was the medical ethics that racism is good as a good thing?
Yeah, but it wasn't racism. It was very confusing that they casted a black guy because then another thing entered the whole
but
discussion.
She just loved your heart.
She just loved my heart because she had this scene. It was a Belgian girl.
Yeah.
And I remember that when they wanted to get us to get used to our naked bodies, so they sent us to a sauna together, the girl and me, which was horrible because I hated her.
Really?
Yeah, he was sitting like this, and they gave us some money so we could go out. They hoped that maybe, you know, some real life and life might imitate art. But after an hour, I decided we just split the money and you go your way and see you on the set. Yeah.
Wow. That's a good story from old Heart
Slag. Isn't it?
Is Heart Slag a
heartbeat. It means heartbeat.
Okay.
But I like the way you pronounce
Heart Slag.
It.
Heart Slag. Well, that is sort of what the show was about, wasn't it? She was a Heart Slag.
It's a fucking Heart Slag over there, yeah.
It's nice, I like that. Good.
Slag my heart.
Not everyone might know who you are, Hans. I do know who you are.
I think nobody knows. Is there anybody who knows who I am?
That's your
it's
wife.
My mother, my wife.
Your minder.
Thank you.
Well, you must track him down, and there's lots of stuff online, but also you can see him live.
You really should.
You're playing here in the Les Square Theatre. Very soon. I saw you on Friday. I saw you 7 or 8 years ago as well at the Soho Theatre. It's quite hard to describe what you do, though, to someone. I mean, I find it quite hard to explain. I mean, so you work in something that, according to Wikipedia, is called cabaret.
So
it's more than stand-up. So because you
occasionally
music
there's
and,
a song. That's about it.
Okay,
that's how it distinguishes itself from stand-up.
Yeah,
sometimes burst out singing.
I mean, you have quite a lot of music.
And yeah,
you play the piano very beautifully. And
yes, I do.
You do. And you sing very stupid songs.
Very, very stupid songs.
But so, how did you get into that sort
well,
of
well, well, in Holland, there's a rich tradition in this kind of theater, and I don't know. I just went on stage and just the only criterion I had just keep the audience entertained and can sing a song, and if they get bored with that, I'll tell a story, and if they get bored with that, I'll go into the audience and insult someone, and if they get bored with that, I'll set the house on fire and anything. So
it's quite, I mean, it does, it's just really hard to describe. I like it, but it does, you know.
You said that four times. Describe it.
I'm going to.
Give an effort.
It's a Dutch man coming on and behaving as I imagine all Dutch people behave all the time. Yeah.
Oh,
in a random
being
way.
Very direct. And,
it's
sexist, racist, narcissistic.
I mean, there's a lot of
sadism. There's a lot of
confrontation stuff. There's a lot of sexual stuff. But then there'll be a silly song about Nostradamus wearing green trousers. which, you know, that's my kind of level of comedy. That's why I like.
You like that one.
I do like that one. Well, that's a great song because it feels like, I assume you're just making up the each verse differently every time you do
it. It's an ode to randomness.
And so there's a lot of random stuff, and I imagine that it confuses a lot of audience worldwide because it's not, you know, you can't describe it as stand up. You can't.
No, that's yeah.
You must have had some terrible gigs.
Why? I could read why in the eyes.
Well,
why?
If you're playing to an audience that, you know, the side of the theatre, the audience knew you, and there's lots of fans of yours in there, so they kind of, that's a nice audience to play to. But if you're going, did you go and play like 15 minutes at a club that people won't necessarily know who you are, or is it always still an audience?
Yeah, well, that's the fun part of coming to England, I can really surprise the audience with what I'm doing. In Holland, they know what I'm about, so I can't, you know, surprise them anymore. So it's nice, it's exciting to play for people that have never seen me.
Sure. Bridget Christie says you're the best comedian she's ever seen, which is embarrassing, isn't it, for her husband? So she's a big fan. I mean, it's cool. Sort of, there's a lot of surreal stuff and quite offensive stuff. But you cover big subjects. So you cover, there's a great bit about Islam where you sort of look like you're going to veer away from talking about Islam, but then you do kind of confront it quite head on. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's about free speech. Keep it quiet.
Please.
It's about free. I mean, a lot of the stuff seems about free speech. There's a great clip online of you being interviewed. I don't know what it's from, but three Muslim girls interviewing you while you're seemingly. Are you on a bed that's electrified? Is that?
No, it was a. How is it called? A nail bed?
Oh, it was a bed of nails.
Where Egyptians lie on.
Yeah.
I had to lie on that, and they interviewed me. The show was called Bimbos and Burkas.
Okay.
And. I had mentioned them in a song that I sang at the revelation of a statue in memory of Theo van Gogh.
Okay,
and then they wanted to ask me some questions about that.
So they were offended by your take on their religion, and it was. But it's very interesting talk about freedom of speech and what that means and what offence means, which I think a lot of your act is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're quite apolitical, you claim, but it is quite. I mean, there's politics in there.
Yeah, it's a bit more in this show, I think, a bit more than the previous ones. It's just too much happening now, too much craziness to ignore. To ignore it would be a statement in itself, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a bit more than there used to be.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's quite interesting that you were friends with Theo van Gogh, who people may know was killed by a Muslim extremist as a result of doing a film about.
Yeah, about the suppression of Muslim women. Yeah. It was written by Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who was at that time a member of the Dutch parliament, a Somalian girl who fled to the Netherlands. And she wrote it and he directed it. And there was a letter to her pinned on his chest, so it was had a lot to do with her as well.
Right, yeah.
Sorry about that.
That hasn't put you off.
No, it stirred me on. No, that's enthusiasm.
I mean, it's sort of weird. We haven't really. I mean, we've had incidents in the UK, but they're not in the same way that seems to. That certainly France has had recently, and Belgium and Holland have had. So does that affect you when you think I'm going to go and talk about this, or do you just think, or does it spur you on?
Well, it's, you know, after Charlie Hebdo and Theo van Gogh and all these, I mean, writers, cartoonists, I think when you get the message from fascists not to talk about something, then there's a moral duty to talk about it as much as you can, I think.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, you know, you're giving in to fascism. And so, but the thing is to make it funny and not make it too heavy-handed.
Sure.
Because it's much more effective if it's funny.
Yeah. Let's do that now.
It works well if you make it funny.
I'll do it with a funny voice.
Islam is stupid.
Do you believe there could be a community of people who still believe in Father Christmas?
Is that a question?
No, it's a question from last week. No, it's all right. That's fine. There could be.
I hope not.
When you started out, your double act partner, you had a double act partner, and he died in a car crash.
Yep.
It's sad, but, you know, in some ways, looking back. It's... You never know, do you? You just never know.
A lot of dogs died on me too over the years.
Really, yeah.
A lot of death in my life, yeah. Yes.
But and so you've got to reinvent yourself. I mean, that's sort of a strange thing to happen very early in your career.
Yeah, well, it was the first thing I helped. It was the first thing I did.
Yeah.
As a duo act.
And you had some success.
We just won a festival, and we had the car crash exactly 1 year after we won the festival. And launched my solo career. So
were you in the car crash as well?
Yeah. I was sitting next to him. Yeah.
Oh God. I'm a bit scared.
You
want to
have some details?
No, I didn't realize. I didn't know that hadn't. Didn't in the car.
You feel better now?
I'm just imagining it happening for me. I'm just thinking, no, I can cope with it. I'm looking forward to the product placement in this one. I'll ask you some emergency questions. Emergency questions. So I think we need it now. If you were given the powers of a King Midas.
A what?
King Midas. Come on, man. You got King Midas in Holland. Everything you touch turned to gold.
Oh, cool.
What would you... you can have... Well, it's not that cool, though. It sounds
no.
cool.
Oh.
And everything you touch turned to gold and it wasn't as good.
Oh.
What would you choose to turn to if you could turn something, everything to something by touching it? Come on, it's an obvious question. It's a question you must have thought about a million times.
Do the question one more time.
If you had the powers of a King Midas...
Yeah, and I could turn anything into gold. Gold.
No, you could choose what it turns into. It doesn't have to be gold.
Oh.
You can have gold if you want, but it didn't work out well for King Midas.
I could change something into something else.
Yeah, but it would always be the same thing.
Well, then fuck it then. Why bother?
Good, you've learned the lesson.
I'm not going to do it. Is that a famous story here?
King Midas. King Midas is from ancient Greece.
And with a Midas touch.
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought she sang the Midas. The Midas. It's the Midas touch. Yeah. A spider's touch.
Yeah. I like
such a cold finger.
This.
Got it now.
Yeah. I like to get...
Pretty girls who enter his web of sin. Go in.
Yeah. I like to get...
Golden words.
I like to get European comedians on who speak very good English and then find the one thing that they don't understand and then talk about it for about 20 minutes.
It's happened before
and it will happen again. Have you ever tried sushi? And
Yes. There's like a packet of rice and a bit of salmon. Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's just a bit of rice and some salmon.
Yeah.
I could never understand what the fuzz is all about.
Is Dutch a real language?
Yes. Oh, yes, it is. We invented the word apartheid.
Did you?
Yes. We did. We did.
And just the that
Dutch word. That's all. That's our claim now.
And we took the rest of the day off. Yeah, I know. There's some Dutch speakers down there, aren't there?
Oh, yes.
There were.
Yes, there is Dutch speakers. I can't do a South African accent. If I talk Dutch, I sound more like a South African than when I talk South African.
Cool. It just doesn't seem like a real language to me.
Why not?
It looks like someone's just taken it.
Wait a minute, the language doesn't look.
It doesn't. When you read
it, like, sounds.
It sounds all right, but when you look at it on the page, you just think someone's having a laugh here.
Yeah, well,
we've just taken some English words and changed them a bit.
So you tried to read it.
I did. Well, I saw an article about you, but it was all in Dutch. And so.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Somebody should translate my Wikipedia page.
They should.
Fuckers.
I'll ask you another emergency question. Which is worse, bestiality or necrophilia?
Well, the best thing is to fuck a dead animal, I think. Because, I mean, what do they care?
Yeah. You know?
But I'd have to go for necrophilia.
It's worse than...
No, it's better. Bestiality is worse. Because what do the dead care?
Exactly.
I mean, they don't care, you know. So
That thinking got Jimmy Savile.
Don't do it in front of the... Don't do it in front of the loved ones.
Don't do it at the funeral.
No. That should be rule number one.
Yeah, bestiality isn't that bad, I don't think.
No. It's
if you're caring.
Except, but that goes for man to woman sex and man to man sex as well. You have to be caring, gentle, subtle. Take your time.
Yeah.
There's no hurry. Don't push it. Don't force it. Let it happen naturally.
Yeah.
Love will surely happen if love was meant to be.
When you go to heaven, which I don't...
I sometimes say, if you fuck a sheep, do it with him facing the canal, because he'll push back.
Okay. CJ from Eggheads. Do you get eggheads in Holland?
Eggheads? Oh, that's a BBC thing.
Yeah,
no,
BBC.
I always skip that. What is it? It's a quiz or something?
It's a quiz. It's not very good.
Oh.
But CJ...
Well, Baba, thanks for asking.
CJ from Eggheads claims he murdered a man in... In Amsterdam.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's not very smart to do that on television.
Well, he did. He wrote about it in his autobiography.
Ooh.
He got away with it, and then he wrote about it in his autobiography.
Well, you know.
Yeah, but it's good to be honest. And if you're going to write an autobiography.
Yeah, and maybe you ran out of subjects to write about.
It is.
Let's do the murder then.
Yeah. Have you ever killed
anyone?
Was
something interesting in my life? Yeah, yes. The Amsterdam thing.
Have you ever killed someone and not told anyone about it and got away with it?
No.
I'm going to catch someone out with that question over the course of Series 10. That's my guess. David Baddiel. That's my guess. He looks like someone who's killed someone. He definitely did. Richard Dawkins claims to have seen dogs doing a 69. What's the worst lie you ever told to impress people?
The worst lie...
Mm.
I once was late at school. I was 13, and it asked me why I was late, and I panicked and I said my mother died. and she was alive.
Yeah, well, she was alive. And did they go, oh, that's all right, you can... Or did they say...
They took it very, very, very seriously.
Right.
As did my mother. Never again.
No,
I'm going to wait for her to die before I tell that thing ever again.
Yeah. If you did keep...
She's alive.
Have you ever flown a kite?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Black painted kites, yes.
A black painted kite?
Yeah, I like my kites black.
Yeah. Happened while you've been flying a kite, or has it just been gone?
No, it's just a very stupid thing to do.
Is it popular in Holland? Because there must be a lot of wind in Holland.
On the beaches, yes. Yeah. On the beaches, is kites flying around on the beaches. Birds, not knowing what it is. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Do they still have a lot of windmills in
Amsterdam? Oh, yes, and wooden shoes and whores. Yeah. And free abortions and heroin and you name it, man.
Dancing mice.
Dancing mice. Yeah. Now, that's not a Dutch thing.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dancing mice?
The mouse that lives in the windmill in Old Amsterdam. It's from a while ago.
Oh, it's a song.
A mouse.
The mice in Old Amsterdam. Look at them dance. Look at them dance in the windmill.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember it now.
Yeah, he has clogs on as well. That's the
What?
Clogs on.
Clogs. The mice had clogs on. Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
And lives in a windmill.
It's quite an offensive song.
Isn't it for
whom? It's quite offensive to the Dutch now, I think about it.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah.
They can take it.
What do you want to talk about now?
You're the fucking interviewer.
That's a good question.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about now? about your book, Richard. You say on page 113, but no, that doesn't happen. What did you... Why? Why didn't it happen? And shouldn't it have happened?
It might
given the sales of your book. Shouldn't it have happened?
It was when I'd murdered someone. And then I shouldn't put that in.
Well, it's good that you... Yeah. A little late, that insight, but still.
Like, I could have confessed to a lot of murders in that book and know what... The police would take a long time to find me. one's reading that
just
one.
Just do one confession every book, because otherwise you'd... Yeah. Run out of steam.
I'll give you a free CD if you like. That's
another one.
Yeah, you can have that. That's my As It Occurs to Me DVD.
Who's the woman?
She's a comedian called Hattie.
She's
in the opening titles of As It Occurs to Me. I sit in a high backed armchair while two women dance for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Thank you. It is.
Well, whose elbow is this? This is an elbow.
I think that's Lou Sanders' elbow.
Lou Sanders' elbow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a very
How to pick them, don't you?
It was a very
your elbows.
It was a very odd choice for the cover, I felt, of that DVD. But Chris Evans, not that one, decided it was important we did it. So we did it. You're in a show called film called Jesus is a Palestinian.
Yeah, it wasn't my movie, but I was in it.
Right.
And I had to shave my head. It was about I was completely bald and filled with piercings, and I played I can't remember, it was a long time ago. Jesus, this is a trip down memory lane. Nobody asked me about that.
It's about you. I thought you might remember. It's good if you don't remember as well.
Yeah, it didn't do too well, that movie, but it was about cults and religious nuttery, I think.
So you do like quite a lot of acting as well as the comedy. You've taken time off from comedy quite a lot, and you're saying backstage it wasn't, you know, you took some time off after Theo Dart was killed,
yeah.
But it wasn't connected to that.
No, but no matter how many times I told people that, we understand. I took some time off. Good to take some time off every now and then. Yeah.
I say I don't think so.
No, but
I don't take any time off. And then I get
and here
ill.
We go.
And yeah, and hallucinate. And yeah, is this happening? There was about 3 or 4 years where you didn't do any, we weren't doing stand up. What were you doing in that time?
Singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear me sing. That's very
frustrating. Nice.
Yeah, I thought so too, but it's just you and me. Because and every time I had an album out, and I said, I have an album. Well, yeah, great. When are you going to do a new show? But nobody wants to hear me sing. Nobody cares. And I'm giving it my all, put my soul into it, and people just put their noses up. Just be funny. Just please be funny. It's nice. You've had your hobby now, and I'll fuck off and be funny. It's very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating.
But you came to Edinburgh with the Dutch Comedy Collective.
Amsterdam Comedy Collective.
Sorry, I was from memory. And that did very well. And so then that's what kind of prompted you to come back to do stand-up again. Cool.
And the rest is history.
The rest is I'm going to do the product placement now.
Cool.
And we'll see if this is... someone wanted this... his name... thank you. Fuck. The band is called... there's a band, and they're called... I don't know how you pronounce it. It's like Only Connect Clue of Yellow Shark with all their vowels taken out. So that's the name of the band. I think they're called Yellow Shark, but they just don't like vowels.
Yeah, it's right. Without the E. Little shark.
Yeah, little shark. Looks like some made-up Dutch. For you people here, they're performing at the Water Rats in King's Cross on the 7th of October. For you people at home, they were performing at the Water Rats in King's Cross on the 7th of November. They're doing a song. We got a bit of it, Ben. Can we play in a bit of their music? We'll try. We're playing it in on Ben's phone. Oh, wow, it's quite good. The man who's singing is called Ian Anderson, not that one. What do you think of this music? Is that your kind of music?
Why are we listening to this?
Because they've they paid us £300 to play it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think it's absolutely marvellous, you know. Yes, yes. It's like a, lost tape found from David Bowie tape. It's a bit Bowie-esque.
It's nice. I liked it. Is they did a, they do a song called Northern Soul about Paul McCartney. Are you a fan of Paul McCartney's? Do you know him? Do you have Paul McCartney?
The Beatles.
Yeah, he's from the
Beatles. Oh, great. The Beatles.
It's about transforming from genius to a bit shit, is what he says. Do you think that's fair about Paul McCartney?
Well, he, Obladi Oblada was the first sign that there's a dark side to him. And what about Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah, I mean there's
that destroyed race relations for a decade, I think.
It wasn't a very good metaphor, the Ebony and Ivory, because there are a lot of white keys and the black keys are sort of kept separate.
I know.
Not used. So it was a
fucking racist. Paul McCartney. Who would have thought?
I think it's unfair on Paul McCartney, though.
Paul McCartney, a white supremacist. It's incredible. Beggars belief.
I think, you know, I think anyway he could coast on the stuff he did in the Beatles, but I think he's done good stuff since the Beatles. What about all the some of the...
Mall of Kintyre!
we can all pick out the Mall of Kintyre and the Frog Chorus. We can all do that, but there's lots of... lots of stuff in...
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
That was nice.
Yeah. The album Ram.
Ram?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to play that when I'm home.
It's good. You should listen to that. I think it's unfair on Paul. It's kind of interesting, but that's...
He can do whatever he wants. He's a Beatle, for fuck's sake. Come on. Have a little respect for your elders. Come on.
It can, and it's difficult to follow up if you start, you know.
It's hard, yeah.
If you start...
Especially with
Beatles,
wings.
Yeah. Would you ever put your partner in your comedy act?
My dead partner?
No, your wife. That could be interesting.
Maybe one day when I'm really desperate for material, I'm going to use my dead partner as a joke.
Now she is his dead partner.
Oh yes, I mentioned. Yeah, I sometimes mention my girlfriend or my mother.
But you
even my daughter. Nobody's safe.
Would you have her up on the stage? Chipping in the odd joke.
No, with a tambourine. Yeah. And that I will not do, nor would she.
So we're both born in 1967.
Yes, the golden generation.
You're 2 months or 3 months older than me.
Okay.
And we both have young daughters. You've got a three-year-old daughter. Why did you leave it so late to have children?
I was a little caught by surprise, to be honest. Yeah. And then I thought, well, what the hell? Let's roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, is you enjoying it being a father, though?
No, it's fucking awful.
So it's bad.
No, I enjoy it. I really do. Yeah,
it's
just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though she's quite conservative and... especially for her age. But, it's fun.
Sure.
Yeah, how's the sleep deprivation?
Well, I just sleep pretty badly. The problem is, we're old, right? And so I just sleep pretty badly. Anyway, before the baby was born, I was waking up at 6 o'clock anyway.
Okay.
If I have a drink, as I did when I came to see your show, I wake up at 4 o'clock anyway. And so, you know, I'm very tired.
Well, that's good to know, Richard.
Yeah, I'm fucked, man. It's terrible.
Oh, fuck.
Have you got any...
What's the name? What's your baby?
Phoebe.
Name? Phoebe?
Yeah.
My girl, daughter's name is Nika.
Nika?
Nika, yeah.
What's the funniest thing she's done so far in her life?
The funniest thing? Gee.
My daughter the other day did this, and it was funny, and she looked really pleased with herself. Just out of nowhere as well, it was quite good. She just discovered
my daughter tried to do this, but she couldn't.
She's a little bit older, so she's got. I left it.
She got more skills here. Yeah.
They're stupid, aren't they? They are stupid, and they give you diseases.
They give you diseases, and they have nothing interesting to say.
My daughter says shoes a lot. Fulfilling a stereotype.
Shoes.
Yeah. Just interested in shoes. That's all she cares about. Right. I'll give you another emergency question. I'm going to work through 500 emergency questions here. That's what I've decided to do.
I'm here.
Do you have any good... Oh, I won't ask you that. Do you... there's too many that have specific English references. that are just... Would you rather have a hand made out of ham or...
What?
A hand made out of ham.
Hand made out of ham?
Or an armpit that dispenses sun cream. Here's a question we haven't had for a while. But it was greeted like an old
friend.
And
the second one was...
An armpit? Come on, I mean,
made out
an
of?
Armpit.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Doesn't made out of armpit.
No.
It dispenses, obviously. It dispenses sun cream, you know, like that you can put on your face to stop sun getting sunburned.
I'd go for the hand.
Yeah.
And use it to masturbate.
You could use
it's like somebody else is doing
you
it.
You could use the sun
like
cream.
A cow with hands to sun.
The sun cream would be quite useful for masturbation, though.
You can use that.
You yourself talk about.
You can do it in. You can do it out in the open in the sunshine and not get burnt. Kill two birds with one stone.
Okay, it's good to know. I know that is the sun cream is the least popular answer because we made badges and I sold them, and the ham hand ones all sold out, and there's still loads of sun cream armpit ones left. So I know for sure that that's the least popular of the choices. Are you interested in time travel? We'll start again.
Yeah, I'd like to go. I'd like to go. 30 minutes ahead.
We could go 30 minutes back and start again. Should penis transplants be allowed?
In Japan. Anywhere in Asia.
Yeah, should be allowed.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a dangerous precedent to allow people to have someone else's penis? Would you like your...
Yeah, because then only the rich would have huge cocks and the poor people would have tiny ones.
Exactly.
And that's not fair, is it?
Well, the poor people might have no cock because the rich
no
people,
cock at all.
Well, they've been harvested by the rich people.
Yeah.
And then you would
there's a famine and everybody has to sell their... My God, no. Now, let's not go there.
Okay.
No.
Would you donate your penis after your death for either medical science or to someone else?
I would donate it to my daughter as a remembrance.
Of, you know, conception, right? That's fine. She might remember that.
Circle of life, isn't it?
This is where you began. Well, it should be your balls, really.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can have them too. I don't care.
This is where you started.
What good are balls if you don't have a cock? You know?
why do elephants have such low rates of cancer?
They don't smoke.
They don't. Thank you for a good answer to that. You know, naked mole rats also don't have much.
Naked mole rats?
Naked mole rats don't get cancer very often.
They do.
No. Just come, put my line.
No punchline?
No.
Little
facts for you.
Oh, okay.
Is sex with a ghost cheating?
Not if you're not in a relationship.
But what if you are in a relationship and then a really sexy
ghost? If my girlfriend would fuck a ghost, I would be jealous.
Would you?
Nevertheless, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No excuse. He's dead. I don't give a fuck. You fucked him.
Would you have sex with a sex robot?
But it has to be a really good one.
Yeah.
Not that. No, it has to be like resemble a real woman.
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
It's quite a big
Westworld, you know? You see the movie Westworld?
Well, I've seen the original. I haven't seen the TV show, yeah.
No, it's not on yet, but and the original was quite an exciting idea to go into a Western town with all these robots and then go to a saloon with cowboy horse, and I thought it was I definitely would. I wouldn't do anything else anymore.
Do you think there's a moral problem if you can choose everything you want about your partner, if they're literally a robot and you can choose their personality and what they look like, would that be interesting? How long would that remain interesting? Do you think the tension that you have with a real human being and the fact that they aren't perfect and moldable?
No, that's a very conservative thought. I would say, bring it on. Bring on perfection.
Yeah.
And if I get bored, we'll make it even more perfect. because we can do anything by that time. So I'm not scared of that. No,
I think
just sit that with this, just sit with your virtual reality glasses on and, yeah, and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
lovely. Yeah,
we'll all just be stuck in.
Fucking what? Okay, yeah, you won't feel like that because, yeah, we'll inject you with something that makes you feel really, 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 really good,
yeah,
and forget that you're just in a chair wearing a helmet. So, no, bring it on.
Yeah,
I love the future.
Yeah. Do you ever worry that Do you ever worry that you've already lived your whole life and you're now in an old folks' home and what you're experiencing now is a memory of something that happened 40 years ago?
Either way is fine with me.
Okay. Do you think, well, I'd be disappointed if this was one of the things that I remembered at the end of my life. I'm sure you would be as well.
Your whole life might have been leading up to this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. I was going to ask you a question about Robert's web there, which I think that would be...
Robert's web?
Yeah, I think that would be...
Is Robert a spider?
Well, he's a man called Robert Webb who does...
Oh, cool.
Who does a series about being the internet. Being on the internet is called Robert's web. But it was, no.
But you can ask the question.
Do you not have Robert Webb in Holland?
No.
We should
export. We used to. We kicked him out. We said...
if you could jump into a pool of something, what would you jump into a pool of...
I would jump into a pool. Well, water would be nice.
Water, yeah. Sometimes it's the most obvious answer. And me and my wife have a system where we're allowed to have sex with 5 celebrities if they're on a list, and if we meet them and they want to have sex with us, we won't divorce each other. Have you got celebrities you'd like to have sex with? And are they all Dutch people we wouldn't have heard of? That would be perfect if they were.
And basically, your question is, who would you like to fuck?
Yeah. It's come down
you're
to
really,
that.
You really got it now. Well, anyone, really.
Anyone.
I'm so grateful. I would be grateful either way, you know. Yeah. Anyone who wants me, I'm in for it.
Yeah, well, I know what you feel. You get to a certain age, and you just sort of think, God, it's kind of over.
Insecure?
It's over.
Insecure?
We're old. We're nearly 50 years old. Aren't you worried
about your age? We're not old. We're barely 49.
We're approaching 50.
Yeah, so what?
Everything's falling apart.
50 is the new 48. I don't know. We're not old.
Do you think you can carry on doing crazy stand-up comedy as you get older?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm always very glad when I see someone who's in his 60s and still funny. I think, okay, yes, yes, yes. So it is possible. It's not getting harder. Maybe it's even getting easier. The writing gets easier, I think. I'm finding out more about how my brain works and when I need to trust my intuition and when I just need to say, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to go on tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the writing, obviously the performing is more tiring, but no, so far so good.
A lot of your stuff feels like the genesis of it must have been like a big leap in the dark. I mean, comedy is often a leap in the dark, isn't it? You don't know whether something's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're coming on and, you know, you start this show with a little dance and a look at the audience, and it is a funny look and it's funny, but, you know, there must be a point going, well, will this... Did you think this will definitely be the opening to my show? This is definitely going to work?
Well, I did this bit in a Dutch show, what you're referring to, so... But doing especially absurd material for the first time is very scary.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know. And if it's not working, it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, a bad joke is still a joke, but like a bizarre act, and it's like people are just looking at someone doing something strange and being very serious about it. And it's very, very embarrassing, yeah.
So that's quite, I mean, I find that a difficult thing with surreal comedy, because when it works, it does work. But due to its very nature, if there is no explanation of why it works.
No, no.
And so a lot of people go, oh, you just go on and say fish and blah, 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 and it's easy. But it isn't. It's really difficult.
No, it's really difficult. And you, there's no formula, and there's really no predicting whether something is going to work or not.
No.
Might seem funny when you're stoned at home. And then you come on in the real world, and it's just annoying, strange, and time-consuming.
But do you find that's with the, I mean, I find like with the My Comedy Show, which we often quite, you know, once the tour gets going, it's quite similar, and you're fairly sure of how things are going to work, but one performance, suddenly everything will be flipped around. Mm. So did you find that is happening more to you? Do you find like one performance varies from the next one a lot because you're doing so much stuff that depends on new audience making that kind of leap to
walk. No, I'm getting a bit better in predicting whether something is going to work or not. I don't get surprised that much anymore on stage, and I know better how to get in the proper mental state to perform.
Yeah.
In the old days, I thought I was feeling really good, but I was overconfident, and after 2 minutes you just know and then you have to pull yourself up, and then I start screaming, and then my voice is all fucked after the show, and it's, but that doesn't happen to me anymore.
No. And because it's very confrontational, I think, in a lot where you'll take on a subject of, you know, whatever it is, feminism or race, religion. And so you do, there's a big bit about Jewish people in this show, which, you know, people could, I think if they weren't listening, or even if they were listening.
If they weren't listening, there was no problem at all.
If they're properly listening, it's, you know, you must get people who, because it happens with all comedy, someone will come and go, how dare you? I find you funny until you mention the thing that I don't like, and now I'm angry about it.
Yeah, but in Holland that doesn't happen anymore. No. They know me too well to you know, think that it's suddenly turned into an anti-Semite or something. So, but here it can happen, especially if they don't wait the whole routine out and start interfering halfway through. But that's nice too. It's exciting. No, but it's exciting. And ultimately, the goal is not to offend, but to include everybody in this sort of relativism and have a big laugh at it all, especially the subjects that are controversial and there's a lot of tension around it, and it can be a great relief if you can suddenly laugh about it.
Sure. It's really very interesting. It's very interesting. Yeah. You must come and see a show. It's very interesting.
Yeah, come and see me, please.
It's interesting to talk about it.
Lots of seats.
It's entertaining when you watch it. Aside from saying, can you do that bit now, which I'm not going to do. It's very hard to explain it. But because I just found it, you know, I found it quite, I was quite ill when I came to see it. Yeah. And I've been drinking.
You're ill a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Well, it was the same. I've been ill all weekend, basically. Oh, cool. So I'm living on a beautiful, you know, hallucinatory weekend. Yes. You know, you don't need drugs. You just need the germs of a tiny baby. And that's as good as it gets. But no, just, you know, I find it quite, there was bits of it that I was staying backstage. It reminded me up to an extent, but not quite the same way as Jerry Sadovitz, who I don't think is a comedian you've seen. But
I've heard about him. And
but he's, he'll, you know, he'll really make you laugh, and then he'll say something you find quite offensive, and you feel bad for having laughed at him, and you hate him for a second. But then because it's the, you know, I think with him, he's immersed in that character. I think with you, it's quite hard to tell who the real you is. And even within the act, it's changing from moment to moment.
Yes.
So you're playful, and then you're angry, and then you're playing the piano.
They don't quite know when I'm in and out of character. So
it's quite confusing.
Yes.
But that's all part.
That's part of the fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Just don't do some jokes.
It doesn't have to be funny all the time. We can just talk about our profession.
It's nice.
Like two regular blokes.
We are. We're just two old men.
We're not old, man.
How old do you think you're going to get to? How long?
Me?
How old would you like to be?
I have no idea. 94. I'll die in November.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if you're... I'm not sure. No, I don't know. I would like to, would you like to keep working right until you die, or would you like to?
No. I hate it already. I wanna retire. But I have to do something, otherwise you get very bored. But it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Being on stage, it's nice too. But I mean, the tension before You know, especially when you're doing something like you know, in a strange language, you know, for a strange audience. I mean, it's draining. It really is.
Sure. With your shows, have you done them all in Dutch and then you have to translate them into English? And is that? I mean, because that must be really difficult. Some of the stuff is songs. And...
Yeah. Some obviously there's songs with the rhyme and like. Yeah. That, but you can take the premise of the song and try to write a new song with the same idea.
Okay.
But it was surprisingly easy, actually, to translate most of it.
It's because Dutch is just English with going saying in a stupid way.
So, like for this show, I had to look up two things: palate and beak.
Beak.
Yeah. This bit about a bird, you know, the bit about the bird.
Yes. Yeah.
Those were the only words I had to look up.
And does it change the bits that aren't songs? Because it's so intricate in the way the language is put together and the arguments put together, and so the pain and the pacing and the cadence of the sentences must change as well.
Yeah, but once you have the right words and you just do it in your head over and over again, and then you find a rhythm of the new language. So it's not as difficult as you would think it would be.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult for me to go to Holland and I think let's try that.
Yeah.
Give me a Dutch dictionary. Yeah,
without knowing, and you can look up two words. That's all.
I do know palate and beak. Those are the only two words I know in Dutch.
Like
palate and beak.
Gehemelte.
I'm surprised.
Gehemelte and snavel.
Fucking hell.
Snavel. palate is gehemelte.
Right.
And beak is snavel.
Yeah. Does palate and beak seem as ridiculous to you as those sound to me?
Everything seems ridiculous in England these days.
what was quite interesting in the show I saw, I mean, this was really strange. I don't know if you found it strange, but like your show is quite a structured show. And there's bits where you're joking about things, and there's bits where you're singing. And then about just halfway through, a guy said, "Do you have any jokes about the English?"
Oh, yeah,
And you kind of go, this isn't really the kind of show where a man's just going to go, I'll just break off the song I'm in the middle of and do a couple of observations. And
he was probably thinking like if comedy is like accounting. You did it with this, now you have to do this.
Yeah.
You did this, now you have to do this. Fair is fair. Yeah. Sounded to me like that.
It was so strange because it was a long way into the show. It was like, this is what I'll help him out.
I don't.
He seems to have lost track and just be doing some crazy songs. Hey man, maybe do some jokes
about the English.
Do you have any jokes about the English?
No.
No, that's what
no need.
There's no need. Are you glad we're leaving the European Union?
Oh, God, yes. Was never a good marriage, was it?
It wasn't. I'm very sad about it.
You'll get by. Have a little trust in yourself. Have a little faith in you.
Yeah.
Everything will work out fine. Don't worry.
It's all the other cunts that I'm worried about. That's the... I'm okay, but it's the other English people. Could you take some of us over... In some kind, we could build a bridge between Holland and.
No problem. We'll take some.
We'll sort of live in between the middle.
Those are not the worst refugees to have. English, disenchanted English people.
I'm not sure.
No, they're very polite. You know, we're direct. We'll enslave them in no time.
I find Holland very exotic because two of my when I went on holiday when I was 14. I got off with a Dutch girl called Carla. Do you know her?
Oh, fuck yeah. Easy Carla.
And when on my first archaeological dig, I got off with a Dutch girl called Susanna.
There's a famous song about Susanna.
Yeah.
Susanna, ik ben stapel gek op jou.
That's her.
Very famous song.
Yeah.
I want to give my arms a rest. Well, ask a question.
I'm not sure it's working. I can dang, that's sort of harder. Anything you'd like to ask me about?
No.
I've got some great new questions. Let's see what let's see what else we've got.
Questions.
How do you sleep at night?
Oh, with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Next to my girlfriend like a fucking baby. Really. No problem.
You're sleeping well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sleep worse when you get, as you're getting older?
It's getting bad. I snore.
You have to get
the
out.
The fatter I get, I snore.
But is your, prostate problem and getting out to pee?
I've got to go and pee.
Already?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we are old.
We are. It's pretty old. I'm just hoping. I don't want to live till I'm like in my 90s. I don't think.
I don't want to live until you're 90.
It'll be the same.
I want to. Yeah, yeah. I want to get a really. But as long as I don't lose my mind.
Yeah.
As long as I can see what's going on and understand it, and not call you a flower and this beak, I'll be fine. Yeah. I want to be around. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have control over that. That's the terrifying thing.
Well, you can kill yourself before you go mad.
Yeah, but you have to choose the right moment to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to know, oh, this is the moment I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, and then you don't know what a gun is anymore.
Exactly.
You start sucking the gun.
It's true.
Which man doesn't escape.
Yeah.
Oh, shit,
There's no escape.
Damn.
So the safest thing...
Well, we have the most marvelous euthanasia rules in Holland. Lovely, lovely euthanasia laws. So I'll be fine. They'll keep you drooling for a few years.
Well,
I'll be long gone.
I know, I think like about 80. But you know, when I was 30, I said I'd be happy to get to 46.
How old are your parents still alive?
Yeah, my dad's 80.
Oh, God.
And that's why I chose that number. No, I hope he lives a bit longer. But it's you know, I think like 90 maybe.
Yeah, 90 would be good. But by then, you know...
advances.
Exactly.
Robots.
Exactly, exactly.
Would you have your brain put in a robot so you survive, but part of the condition...
Oh, they will anyway. You know.
Part of the condition is that people have to have sex with a robot. Like 5 people a day. But your brain
being very aware of
everything, and there'll be pain receptors. That
I would bring my sacrifice to science. Yeah. Yes, I would do it.
Yeah, I think I probably would. But like living forever
that's the most scary thought there is.
The
don't concentrate on that too long because it's horrible.
Yeah. So, well, I don't understand with religion, which I know you're not a fan of, but is the idea you die and then you carry on forever?
Oh, that's
awful.
It'll never, never, never stop.
Yeah.
And then heaven is not really what you hoped it would be.
No.
And it just goes on and 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 on. That's eternity for you.
It's that long.
No borders anymore. It's like Schengen.
And I think you wouldn't have your body, so you wouldn't have eyelids either.
You wouldn't have eyelids.
No, you would be able to shut your eyes.
Why would you want to go on without eyelids?
You can't shut your eyes, so you would be, and you would never go to sleep.
No.
So you're also awake 24 hours a day.
It's like living in Scandinavia where it never gets dark.
That's right, yeah.
You ever seen how they look?
Yeah.
Beautiful women.
But if you can't close your eyes, you're looking, and you've got 360 degree vision, I think. That's what I think. That's what I believe.
You just lost me there for a second, but it's cool.
I think it'd be nasty, so I hope it's the end. But I was watching, you know, the Monty Python team. Terry Jones has got Alzheimer's disease now.
Oh.
It's really, well, he just got given a
He bath. Was the best woman, I thought.
He was the Pythons, best, wasn't he? Was the yeah. best Pepper Pot, is what John Cleese said about him. There's a very moving thing about him getting a BAFTA and his son talking about him at the end. And it's very funny, but it's just so awful to see someone.
I know.
Yeah.
Napoleon at the end thought he wasn't Napoleon.
Right.
It was horrible.
It's weird when so many people think they aren't Napoleon.
Yeah. He thought he was, and then he was. Isn't that tragic? All for nothing.
If those people who thought they were Napoleon were any good at being Napoleon, they would think they weren't Napoleon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Alzheimer's a bitch.
It's nasty. Yeah.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
let's wait here until we get it.
Okay. Yes. Better medicine, so we'll... Let's all live to have Alzheimer's.
I think, Jimmy, I think like in, well, like, so we're talking, we've got the 40 more years, 40 or 50 more years, 40 more years till we're 90. Shit.
It's a long time.
They'll be able to,
from your ninth till now. Yeah, that, yeah. A lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, they'll be able to cure it all.
No, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Nothing.
It's them I worry about.
Well, those youngsters, like this young fella down here, they're going to live forever.
I know. No more death.
They're not going to die.
Just living, 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 and living until there's no more UK.
You'll die eventually. Are you having a nice time? Someone, the virus.
Yeah, Gesundheit, for what it's worth.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you. I hope,
yeah,
you've
likewise.
Had a nice time.
Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. And where are you doing in the UK in October? Are you still going to be going on?
Because
you're all over the UK.
Yeah.
You can check your website.
I have a mental block now. But check my website.
Yeah, but your name's impossible.
I can't pronounce those English.
Your name's impossible to spell. No one's going to be able to Google
no,
you.
No. It's a Dutch absurdist with a hard to pronounce name. That's a very commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they Google Nostradamus with the green striped trousers,
they might. But my name would be faster.
Yeah. I used to do a sketch about Nostradamus. I'm obsessed with Nostradamus.
He knew that.
Yeah. So I was. Oh dear. I wish I'd been less ill.
No, you were great. Wasn't he great, ladies and gentlemen? You see, it's not a real applause, but still.
I'd say one in six people enjoyed my performance, and that is, you know,
it's good.
They're all a good number of fans, really. So, you know, for both of us, it's a tough gig. You've been really lovely. Do check it out, Hans, if you get the chance. Ladies and gentlemen, Hans Twan, ladies and gentlemen. Been listening to Richard Herring's That's the Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest Hans Tewan. It's got Pest on it playing the music. It's got everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, thanks to them. It's got everyone at Go Fast Strike, thanks to them. Thanks to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, especially Orange Mark. I'm giving him any orange juice for a long time. It's produced by Ben Walker and is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Fast Strike production. Why not go and listen to the music of Yellow Shark or Yellow Wobba Shark Cooker if you enjoyed this podcast? Why not? Check them out. YLLWSHRK. If you would like to see Hans Tewan on tour, you can see him on the 19th of October 2016 at the Nottingham Playhouse, the 24th of October Birmingham Glee Club, the 26th of October Norwich Playhouse, 27th of October Cambridge Junction, and then on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays between the 3rd and the 26th of November here at London's prestigious Leicester Square Theatre. Do come to the Leicester Square Theatre on Monday nights throughout October and November if you want to see Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast being recorded. Why not? It'll be quite good. We've got some good guests coming up. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.